You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thank you, beautiful babe. How are you all? You all right? Oh, I have to be honest with you, I'm getting a little bit homesick. Yeah, it's halfway through the fringe. Me and my partner are on a Sunday. We have our little routine. He'd be in the kitchen knocking up a couple of chicken Kievs. You know, breast meat, not chopped and shaped. Only the best for a Sunday. We'd be about to nut into a good old episode of Bergerac or two, you know. And it's weird looking up and seeing Arthur's Seat, not the lovely petrochemical factory in Canvey, where I'm from. Just a little bit of grey steam coming up. Avoiding dog poo on the floor. Yeah, that's Canvey. The pavements are too small for dog poo in Edinburgh, I think you'll find. So we're going to have a cosy afternoon chat together. How's that sound? We got the most beautiful guest for you. Two of the best, hottest talents on the fringe. You're going to enjoy talking to them so much. Let's welcome to the stage our beautiful guests. First, the wonderful Celia AB. Beautiful. Oh, my God. What an entrance. And then the wonderful Josh Jones. Oh, you went for the alternative route, Josh. Parachute in, babe.
Oh, there we go.
How are we both? Are we all right?
Yeah, I'm fabulous. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. I'm a little bit, you know, I could do with a nice long bath and a litre of whiskey. That's the vibe. Do you know what I mean? A big old bottle of Matey there to keep topping up the bubbles. But I'll do that after because tomorrow's my day off.
Same.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm so.
Has everyone got the day off on a Monday?
I've got Tuesday.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's your tips for a day off in Edinburgh?
I'm going for a spa.
Oh, beautiful.
I was going to go cinema and watch the Elvis film again.
Again?
I've seen it twice.
Is it good?
I loved it. I thought he was very handsome.
I'll come with you.
Yeah, come with me.
Pick a mix is on me.
When you see it twice, is it because it's like a thinker?
Well, no, I just like going to the cinema anyway because I like a Tango Ice Blast.
I've never had one myself.
Oh, they're amazing.
What is it? A bit of chemical and ice?
Yeah, it's basically frozen tango. It's fucking great. It gets you like really like pumped up for a show.
I bet it does. It's like that Sunny D.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's turned your skin orange.
Well, it was that got took away that for a bit, didn't
it? Yeah, there's for a reason for that.
Yeah. That and Turkey Twizzlers.
Yeah, but still, both of those things, very popular in Essex.
Yeah.
Anything you turned your skin orange in Essex, they're into it. They love it. They're selling it on the black market out of the kiosk. You go up and you're like, have you got any of that? Sunny D. Yeah, 4 litres or six. Six every time. You save good money. Look at me. Because this is, it's one of those things, the Fringe, it's a rite of passage, they say, you know. And there's some things that you've got to do at the Fringe, like you've got to go up Arthur's Seat, you know, at 4 a.m. with an American clown troupe or something, you know. Them on, what is that drug they all do these days? Meow, meow. They're all off, they're not meow meow. And then you've got to get chlamydia off a sound tech.
Yep.
Mine looks really young though.
Your sound tech?
Yeah, I think he's like 7. I don't.
Well, don't go there.
Yeah,
then.
No,
I
bought him a Diet Coke the other day and I was like, are you allowed caffeine? This is crazy.
I think my techs are getting with each other. Actually, in fact, I know they are. Because I realized they had like a will day, one day dynamic, and then I saw them in Brooks Bar getting with each other. Oh, I know, and I've never been happier. They don't know that I know. So every day I walk in, like, Yeah, I'm
you could be the celebrant at their wedding.
I mean, I might just... I think on the last show, I'm just going to tell them that it's really unprofessional.
You could do, like... The thing is, they're a funny breed, don't they, Soundtex? No offence at the back there. Head to toe in black always. Mm-hmm. You know, covered in Mountain Warehouse clothing.
There's two types of...
Carabiner. Yeah. Carabiners in every loop of their jeans.
Soundtex are always, like, really stressed out. Yeah. Or, like, super happy. There's no in-between. And when they're stressed out, they're like, oh, I have to push buttons.
Yeah.
You just tell me that, to be fair, though, Sailor out there, you're like, Celia, sorry, forgive me. You did say out there, you were like, God, it's hard work standing up for an hour.
It's so hard standing for an hour. Have you tried it? It's, oh, so long. I think an hour of stand-up is too long. Let's do, like, why can't we do 37 minutes?
Some of us are. We're just padding a little bit longer.
Yeah, you just fill it in. It's all about the filler, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
A bit of crowd chat. That's what they call it.
In my show, it's all filler. It's really comfy.
So, let's start with you. What does the AB stand for?
What would you like to know? When I started doing, first started doing stand-up, I didn't want my parents to find out about it. So my real name is Aib, but flipped it for AB. I know, genius.
Very edgy.
Within a month, they obviously found out. Also, it rolls off the tongue quicker, because otherwise it'd be Sally Aib, and then try and get a social media presence with that.
I thought it was your real name, and we've been friends like 5 years. I've never asked her if it's short for anything else.
It is short for... I think it's like... In French, we have a word called a nom de guerre, which is like it helps me... When I first started doing stand-up, it helped me disassociate with who I was when I got on stage. And now I think it's just who I am. I guess it's inspirational.
I think we're all disassociating from who we really are in our own way. That's why we step on the stage. Mm-hmm. Terrified of ourselves, we are. Welcome to comedy. We've had a lot of people on here, actually. Some interesting thoughts and opinions about why you get into stand-up comedy. There's a deep hole that needs filling.
Yeah.
What about you two? Why did you, Josh?
I kept getting told to do it. So then I was like, all right. And then I was like, ooh, this is fun. People have to listen to me speak about myself.
And was it easy? Did you just go up and... Where was your first gig?
In Manchester, in the Northern Quarter. And yeah, it was quite fine. I went with my friend and she did it as well. And she had two bottles of wine and then fell off the stage and nearly broke a leg. And I was like, this could be my life every night. And that's kind of what started it.
Difficult to maintain a double bottle of wine per night, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is she still doing it?
No.
It's not she's a good, dead.
Yeah, she's dead.
Alcoholism gets you in the end, doesn't it? To be fair. I mean, there's not many French comedians, though, is there? And they don't do very well. I'm not saying we hate them or nothing. We ain't racist. But there just ain't many French comedians in the UK. They don't cross the river.
The emails I send are working. Like, it's not pleasant.
What is it like, though, in France? What do they find funny in France?
I haven't been in ages, so I think that stand-up is quite a new thing in France. So when I left, there was one comedy club. 7 years ago, there was one comedy club, and that's where I saw my first ever stand-up thing. And I went back in December, and every street corner had a new one. It's kind of like a revival of the 90s when stand-up first happening in like America.
It is weird doing it in different countries when... because it's newer in some countries. I was gigging in Prague and they had two MCs hosting the show. And before I went on, one of them went, Josh, do you want me to tell the audience you're fagger? And I was like, oh, yeah. But then the other one tapped him on the shoulder and went, no, Josh will tell them. And I was like, and that was my only experience of Prague. So I don't know if you can say faggy in Prague. Is there any checking? Can you say it? I don't know. But
what does it...
Fagger.
Fagger.
Yeah, so the, it was...
Oh, like the word... Oh, like
yeah,
like
but it was like the nicest word of... Be- nicest way of being called that word, because putting the IE on the end makes it quite cute, really, doesn't it? Like, oh, faggy. Like, it's quite nice. But yeah, I thought that was quite weird. And then, because they've only got 10 professional comics in Prague, that's what they told me.
That's so
and they
funny.
Was two of them, and oh, it wasn't good.
Why? What was it like?
One of them was just doing lightsaber impressions. So he was doing this for like 10 minutes. And then he was like, and then I said, because I thought it'd be funny, I said, no, you tell them. And he went, we've got this faggy comedian from England. And I was like, Prague is fucking mental. I loved it.
I think in Canvey, I mean, everywhere's different, isn't it? I mean, up north, they've got a different sense of humour. In Canvey, if you just point at something and say it, and then everyone laughs.
Yeah.
Like, shoo. Ah. Everyone finds it hilarious. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Probably because they're not very bright. There's something about the drinking water. It's the chemicals from the petrochemical factory, if I'm honest, to be fair. And Manchester, I mean, that's got a lovely heritage, isn't it? A comedy.
Yeah,
it's all the greats.
The city centre and stuff is good. And the circuit is really good because you have to gig in a lot of working men's clubs in the north. So it makes you quite, like, robust. And I started 7 years ago, and I looked like a child. I was 22, but I looked really young. So then it was just a load of big, burly blokes in the front row. So you have to learn how to, like, just fucking rip into them. So it makes you quite, like, feisty as a comic.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes when I'm backstage, I'm like, let's fucking have it. But I think it's because I started in those gigs, and there was quite a bit of tension. Like, as soon as I walked on, they were like, ugh. And so you know that you have to, like, fight them to get them to laugh. So
and could you win them round then? Because everyone would assume that if you went into a northern working men's club as, like, a young gay man, that they'd be a bit
edgy. I'm honestly, like, I still do those gigs now. I genuinely love them. I think they're just so much fun. And it's so much fun watching someone, like, be quite, like, disappointed when you start, but then you win them round. I mean, it's not ideal, but it's quite fun because you're like, oh, I must be fucking sick if I've made this 90-year-old bloke piss himself laughing. Yeah.
Well, that's the perception, though, isn't it, of everyone in the UK? They think, oh, God, we're so unaccepting and willing. But then you go out and you do these gigs and you realise that everyone will give someone a chance. You've just got to make them laugh.
Yeah.
And if you're not funny, you're buggered.
Yeah.
Sadly. But did you, what about your influences?
I had kind of the same experience as Josh, actually, because I started doing comedy in Birmingham, where I lived on purpose. And it was... But I'll always be grateful for the fact that I started in the Birmingham West Midlands scene, because it was South Birmingham little clubs where it's like, same as you, burly blokes, so people who are really high. I had to be quick and win them round. And I think that I've signed with my first agent very quickly, and that meant that I went around the UK and did gigs. And I'll always be grateful for that.
Yeah.
The fact that it makes you see... It makes you basically meet every type of person in the country. Mm. Helps you sharpen jokes that work on everybody, if that makes sense. Not just people who are exactly like me. And when someone says they want to start doing stand-up, I always say, get out of London for a bit, because it makes you better.
But also, those, like, northern working men's clubs, they genuinely pay a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people are like, oh, but London gigs don't pay that well because they expect you to do three in a night, whereas in the north, like, if you don't drive, you can't really double. So they pay, like, really fucking good. So a lot of people are like, oh, why do you want to do those gigs? And it's like, because I can afford to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get in the car, Milky. We're going down north. So your new show that you're doing up here.
Yes.
A debut.
Yeah, but I had a different show wrote for 2020.
Okay.
But now I'm doing this one instead.
And talk us through the creative process of a comedian. Like, what do you, you know, do you start off with the idea of the show and then you write jokes around it, or you just build it from something juicy?
I've everything I've done in my show, so all of my show has been tried and tested in the clubs on the weekend.
Nice.
So everything that I can do in this show in Edinburgh, I can do in front of Stags and Hens. Because, like, no offence to Edinburgh, but that's more important to me, because that's like your bread and butter.
Yeah.
So, like, and here, it's a very particular type of audience that I don't think represents the whole of the UK, if you know what I mean.
No, totally.
So, like, for me, it's not like an hour with, like, a story or anything. It flows, but it's just like a 50-minute club set of just fucking joke. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think that's so cool. Josh is so good at that. I think that that's the best way to have a really punchy show.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I can't wait to see his show. It's so funny.
What time is it on, Josh? Let us know.
Half eight. Where the fuck am I? Bunker Three at the Pleasance.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. We'll go to that, won't we?
Also, he looks really fit on his poster. Like, I highly recommend.
I look all right now, bitch. I've just walked up.
You
half
should
a
see
seat.
His poster.
Fresh.
You're a disappointment in real life. Yeah. That's what they'll say on there.
Has anyone seen Josh Jones? Is he here yet?
So what your show is, Celia, is called Swimming. What's the story behind that?
The story is I needed to do a show. and I was chatting to a friend of mine and I said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. It has to be an introduction, I think, also your first show. So it's the story of me moving to England, like the fact that I'm a bit of a pick-me girl and then learning to swim at the age of 25. What I really like about this is that when we sent all the stuff, we said I learned to swim at the age of 25, so everyone thinks I'm 25, but I'm not. I'm like 27 next month. But ever, because that was 2 years ago, when you Google my name, it says Celia AB, 25 years old, which I like. I call it like doing a Russell Kane. So.
Well, is that what you tell us, Eli? I mean, to be honest, if you know my real age, 150. You know, you can doctor that kind of thing, can't you? Everyone does it.
It is weird how youth-obsessed like the industry is, though. Yeah. Like, I'm 29, and even some producers are like, oh, we're looking for younger. What? Fuck off, bitch. Like, I'm really good as well. I've got a really good skin routine.
Yeah,
so
you
like,
look much younger than 29.
I could pass for younger. But it's the fact that because I'm nearly 30, they're like, oh, in the cupboard older. And it's like, what the fuck? He's still really young.
You do look about 22 on your poster, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I do.
Do you have it photoshopped, your posters?
Oh, big time. Sometimes I come out on stage and they're like, are we in the right show? It's brilliant.
It's not photoshopped, but it's this angle. So it's like...
clever.
Yeah, like jar. Yeah. That's quite good, I think.
Sometimes I look at my picture for hours.
Me too.
I just look at my poster, just sit there for a good few hours staring at it. Then I look in the mirror and I feel sick.
I think that if like there's a good picture of me, I'm like, that's what I look like. And if there's a bad picture of me, I'm like, I don't know who that person is.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, look in the mirror. Someone's painted a face on a bin bag. I'd go for I've been considering anyway, getting some of the treatments done.
I'm on, I take Manual, which is hair supplement tablets to try and prevent me going bald.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's thickened my hair up. I've been doing it for like 8 months. It's quite expensive though, like £120 every couple of months.
Isn't there side effects for that kind of thing though? Because I mean, I tell you what, if something works for Milky. Look at that luscious hair. There's a lot to be said for Cheerios. If you've got a diet of just Cheerios, you'll end up with a gorgeous little lock of hair like that. Look at him. So you have to pay to keep your hair.
Yeah, well, it's these supplement things. So there's two tablets you take a day, a spray and a shampoo.
God, that's a lot of work.
Does it work for the whole body?
No, yeah, because now I have to, like, shave my shoulders. So there's a bit... that's not a side effect I really wanted.
Teen Wolf.
Yeah, but as long as my hair's coming in. But if I have to, I will do the full hair transplant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd get work done, big time.
A lot of people go to Turkey. That's where you get it done.
Yeah. What are they all right with gays over there?
Well,
I'd be scared. I got an homophobic one and give me a proper shit hairline. Yeah. Like a triangle.
Just start it there.
Yeah.
Start it mid forehead. You come back a Klingon.
Yeah.
But you know what time of the show it is? Because we seem like we're quite good at, you know, helping people out with the old problems, the dilemmas. We do a little bit of the show. Now, you lot can help in this as well. Is that we've got people writing. Okay, so on our social media, we say, Dear Diane, they call it. So they write in if they've got a little gorgeous problem, and we help them out. Not all problems are gorgeous. Let's be clear. Some of them are serious. Okay, here we go. Number one. Oh, this is an interesting one. Dear Diane, what's your domestic life hack? To be honest with you, I don't do any cleaning. Pay someone. That's my domestic life hack. I wouldn't go near it. Although I am obsessed on watching social media when you look at all those clips, you know, some man rubbing a shower curtain with a lemon. I won't touch anything, but if I get a challenge like that, I'll do it. Does it work? No. No matter how much carbon or soda you throw at something, it don't do bugger all. You've got to go with the hard stuff. Do you know what I mean? What about you two? You domestic? You enjoy the domestic life?
I'm really tidy. Yeah. I think that if it doesn't make you happy, just bin it.
Bin it. What a gorgeous sentiment.
Yeah, I came up with
way.
That.
It's the modern way.
If it doesn't bring you joy, put it in the bin.
Yeah.
Mm. I got a tattoo of that.
Have you? Where?
Just right on my chest.
Oh, beautiful. Around the nipple.
Yeah, then the same one at the back.
Oh, yeah. Well, I won't call it what they do call it. That's a nightmare. What about you, Josh? You into the cleaning?
I'm quite clean, but I'm a good cook. That counts as domestic.
Oh, yeah. I think that does. Yeah. So, what, you got any good cooking
tips?
Yeah,
I'm really good at baking pies.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to live with a bunch of stoners, but I didn't smoke weed, right? But every Sunday we'd do pie day, and I'd make about 8 different pies, and then all these stoners would eat them and give me compliments, and that's like how I would get my high.
Yeah.
From like the compliments from the pies.
Yeah. Spoken like a true stand-up.
But then I started doing stand-up comedy and I stopped baking them pies because I was like, oh, I've got something else now. But I still bake pies for people's birthdays and stuff.
I have to say, but on the way here, I did have a steak bake. I'm sorry, my fifth of the day. And the blister on the top of my mouth, I don't think it's going anywhere quick.
Oh,
it's like the Millennium Dome. In fact, I can feel it now, it's quite relaxing. It's a little trampoline for the tongue. It's gorgeous in there.
But well, I've just started dating someone new, and he's like privately educated and proper fucking posh as fuck, and I've never dated anyone like that before, and we're very different worlds. And growing up, he's never had like a proper homemade family pie, so I made him like some proper northern food, and he said he didn't poo for 2 days.
What an achievement.
Yeah.
that's true love.
Yeah,
that is.
That's good, isn't
Where
it?
Did you meet him?
Inge. Any Hinges in?
Oh, Hinge.
No.
And someone was telling me the other day, though, on Hinge, that they send a message out and then no one replies.
Yeah, that
I can't handle that. My self-esteem would go down the drain.
It's so hard to keep, like, to speak to someone who you don't even know if you've got chemistry with.
Yeah.
But that's why Hinge is good, because it's not just photos. You have to answer questions so you can see if they've got a sense of humour or not.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, as if they haven't spent 2 months deciding what the questions are.
Yeah.
Then you get there in real life and they're monosyllabic. I mean, I could write something quite eloquent down. Doesn't mean I'm good in person.
Well, I'm glad that I've just started dating someone and I'm not on it anymore, because they've just updated Hinge and now people are doing voice notes.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And my voice is the biggest dick repellent going. So, like, that would have really fucked me over.
People recognise you off Hinge and things like that?
Yeah, well, now, like, I'm not like famous, but like a lot of the people who follow me are a lot of gay men, so like I can't go on dating apps now because people have noticed me, and even just going in gay bars and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's like, but as
he
well,
loves it.
I do.
He goes in a stack of pies.
But could you?
All right, look, boys.
Because I've only just started getting noticed, and it is just from gay men, really. That like, because you've had a bit to drink and your ego's massive, you'd forget that you've been on telly or whatever, and you think, God, everyone wants to shag me. But no, they don't. Yeah.
We've been clubbing with Josh, and on the same night, he lost both his phone and his passport.
Oh, don't get me started on this fucking passport. I've had the worst fringe ever. We went on a night out in a gay bar. I lost my passport, but I need it for when I get back. So I had to go to Glasgow to get a fast-track passport while we was here.
Oh,
and then because I've lost 3 passports in 6 years, they made me have a meeting with someone on Zoom to prove I'm not, like, selling them or anything and I'm not, like, committing fraud. They did a full background check. They was asking me what my brother does for a job, asking me about my parents. They asked me when I leave my house, what can I see on me street? And I've had to proper prove him. I was like, no, I'm not a master criminal. I'm just a fucking idiot who goes on nights out and takes a passport with him.
Where did you lose it? Which gay club?
Where
CC Bloom's.
We went
it?
To, so we.
No, this it was in London
was
a lot.
In London.
Oh, was
just
in, okay.
Before we came up.
We'd gone to see our friend Luke's friend Bands for a quiet drink. And then we got a bit tipsy, and Josh was like, I'm letting everyone in the gay bar, but I get, you were like, I'm going to get tickets for everyone, we're going in.
Oh, I can't remember.
Do you not remember?
What, you bought everyone a ticket?
Yeah, the entrance. When I'm bladdered, though, I don't know. I've not got the money, so I don't know where it's come from. But when I'm bladdered, I'm like, it's on me. Come on in. I'm the best night out there. Like.
Oh, I bet you sound.
It was such a nice time. It was a great time.
Yeah, I was shit-faced. Lost my passport and my phone in the same day. But we found the phone.
Yeah. Oh, that's a relief.
Yeah, but the bouncer wasn't happy with me.
No, he really wasn't.
Fucking hated me.
Have you got a little partner on the go, someone you know?
No, so I've split up with someone a few months ago before the Fringe, and it was, so this is the first single Fringe that I'm experiencing.
Oh, watch out, sound text.
And because I've written off dating comedians, it leaves me with like comedy adjacent people, and I don't want to shag audience members because that feels. There's a power dynamic.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's like, because if you've seen me, like, say, plan things for an hour with flattering lighting that I've picked, you're going to be so disappointed when we're sitting at a bar and I'm riffing. I've had a couple of fringe crushes, but the thing is with fringe crushes is that this is how I've been describing the Edinburgh Fringe and people getting with each other. So imagine you're on a plane and you hear that the plane is about to crash, and then everyone's like, oh my God, we're gonna die, we need to start shagging. And everyone starts shagging each other, and they're like, this is the last thing we'll do. And then after everybody's shagged, it turns out that the plane is not gonna crash, and actually everyone's gonna live. And then you all have to look at each other for the rest of your lives, knowing that this is what happens. This is the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Also, though, with that analogy, that'd be some quick shagging. How long does it take for a plane to go down?
I'll tell you what, I don't know what Edinburgh Fringe you're at, but it's a different one to me, babe.
Oh, the amount of, like, do you not know that the amount of people that get with each other at the Fringe is insane. I think there should be a blog that, like, lists them all.
Poor old Milky. he had such high hopes. Yeah. They get such a bad rep, comedians, don't they, as lovers?
The thing is, like, I think if you're going to bang someone, don't make it a comedian. Like, get, like, because comedians tend to, like, cry afterwards and stuff. Because we've
that says a lot.
Yeah.
Do you, Josh, have a little cry?
No, just jawing, not at the end. Just
I take a break, have a cry, get back in. The 43rd minute.
What a positive show. Dear Diane, this is a new one. Oh, this is weird. Dear Diane, what's the texture of your melancholy?
What's the what?
What's the texture of your melancholy? Hessian. I think that's mine. Well, do you know what I find quite another sad material? PVC. I just think of a person in a sex club sat in the corner with their tears just bouncing off their little PVC suit or something. Do you know what I mean? I find that quite a depressing material. I don't know what they mean by texture of your melancholy. They're so arty, these bleeding people, I don't get it. Well, if you were to give a texture to your melancholy, what would it be?
Velvet.
Yeah, that's quite a depressing material.
Velour, velvet more than velour.
Yeah, there was a guy I know, a promoter, and he used to always wear a velvet tracksuit. I was like, I don't trust you.
Yeah, but I can imagine you smelled like patchouli or something.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, dear Diane, a few weeks ago, I was at a party and dropped some hummus on a very famous person's suede shoe. I was mortified. I walked away without mentioning it. What was your most embarrassing celeb moment? Oh, I mean, I've got endless.
So I'm a really big fan of, do you know Saran Jones, the Northern actress, absolute icon, in love with her.
I do know, but what's she been in?
She was in Scott and Bailey, which is my favourite TV show. Two female detectives in Manchester solving crime and balancing family life. Oh,
sounds like a nightmare.
Honestly,
I'd love it.
It's amazing. But she's been in loads of stuff. Vigil, Dr. Foster.
Yeah,
so anyway, I used to be, do you know, one of those charity muggers on the street with a clipboard trying to get you to join the charity?
I used to do that.
Yeah, and basically, when you do that job, you just get told to piss off all the time, do you know what I mean? So you just automatically go from one to the other. And then I saw Saran Jones. I like paused in front of her with like my mouth open and I couldn't speak. And she just walked past like, and then I dropped my clipboard, ran into the Arndale shopping centre in Manchester, cried for about 15 minutes in the toilet, came back to my manager and said, I have to go home. And I got the rest of the day off.
Oh, that's a nice little positive spin on the end.
Yeah.
She probably thought you'd had a stroke or something.
No, I think she knew I was a fan, but my friends just started, they told me that you could meet her, and I was like, I can't bring myself to be in the same room as her.
It is daunting, isn't it, when you meet someone that you've admired? Yeah. You know, people do it with me all the time. Yeah. They just stand there agog. I don't walk off, though. I just put my fingers in their mouth. right, Celia, what about you? Have you got any?
So this is a different kind of embarrassing. So I keep not knowing who people are. So, okay, I can say this. I was at like an industry event, and I was talking to someone who I thought was a runner. And I was like making jokes about like, oh, I'm going to steal all those snacks and take them home. And it turns out that's the head of comedy at BBC.
Okay.
And I had a message from my agent the next day that was like, so she sent me a screenshot being like, do you know this guy? I think you met him at the party yesterday. And I was like, that's my party comedy runner friend. I spent the whole evening telling him, oh, these snacks are going in. And turns out he could make or break my career. So, but I keep doing that. Like, I could meet Michael McIntyre. I don't know what he looks like.
Well, good luck with your career on Channel 5. I think my most embarrassing... I remember I did just come out of prison and I got given a bit of a chance. I did the Royal Variety or something similar to that. It was a charity event. I can't remember. I get there to the dressing room. Jane McDonald's left a prawn in the hummus. Classic. I go out front. Elton John's there with his kiddie winks. You know, in his Juicy Couture little outfit. Anyway, they were so happy to see me. I got carried away, high kicking all over the place. Oh, John's two kids in the front. Mouse full of Percy pigs. Fidget spinners going hell for leather. Did I see them? No. I high kicked one of them into the balcony. He hasn't spoken to me since. Elton, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I've still got a bit of your child's fingernail in my shoe. So what's the future then? I mean, your career in TV's buggered, to be honest. Let's be realistic. What are you going to do? What's the hopes for these shows? You know, what do you end up wanting to do? You know, because a lot of comedians, weirdly, have said that their aim is that they want to end up just being like having a career in comedy and just being able to go to one place or the other and make money off it. They're not worried about TV, they say. They're probably lying. But
I want more telly.
You want more? That's it.
Yeah, I love telly. Like, it's really fun. You get picked up in a car. You feel like, Miranda Priestley in Devil Wears Prada. You get a car, they have like a driver and everything. He's in a suit. You're like, this is a fucking sick Uber, it's mint. And then you just get a full day, they give you free food. You just act a prat in front of cameras. It's great, it feels so good.
That's the spirit.
So I want more telly. Not like old to get them famous, just because it's so fun.
You're being taken out, basically.
It's a really fun day, and they do make you feel really special.
My favourite bit is when someone's like, when do you want your food? That's great.
Yeah.
What's your favourite catering on a gorgeous little thing? I mean, you'll obviously turn up with the pies anyway, so.
Yeah, but if you film in the Northwest, if you do, they do Cats Does Countdown in Manchester, and there's a Nando's there, and it's a free Nando's. It's just fucking great, isn't it, really?
I love
it. Or a Wagamama's.
Mike, I get quite bad heartburn from a Nando's.
Oh, do you?
I've only had two.
It's like
Nando's
Mordor
in my
gullet once I've had. Once I've had a Nando's.
I've only been to Nando's twice in my life, and the first time was with Jade Adams and Alison Spittle.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how it worked, so I kept being rude to the staff by mistake. So I kept being like, sorry, can I get some cutlery in here? And then they'd be like, you have to go up and get it. And I'd be like, all right, I didn't realize I worked there. It's like I paid £26 to do a shift.
£26 at Nando's? Blimey. What did you eat?
I had a chicken salad that had too much hummus in it. I had some chips and corn on the cob.
And that was 26 quid.
Yeah, I tipped Riley. A lot.
I thought you'd get a family platter for that.
I bought some shares. but I think for me, I'm just really happy to be able to be a full-time comedian. Where I come from, I'm coming from the banlieue in Paris, so we didn't have that much money. And no one in my family kind of managed to do anything creative as a job. So if I can just stay at this level where I can just pay my bills with doing jokes, that's a bit magical, isn't it?
I think if you've got working class parents.
Yeah.
I think actually going into a career in comedy for a lot of people is they think you're absolutely mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then once you start earning a bit of money, the big fans.
But do they encourage it at first, your parents?
My mom is like, so it's weird because they obviously went from being like surgeons in Algeria to having basically being working class, the working class version of what we have in France, which is Les Mis. And they didn't. And so it was quite a weird upbringing, but my mom is quite, she's really supportive. I don't really speak to my dad, and my mom is really supportive, but equally across the board for everything in the same level. So if I'm off to like a new material night, she's like, that is so great. And if I'm doing telly, she's like, that is so great. She doesn't get anything about it. She doesn't know what I'm doing right now. She doesn't get Edinburgh.
Do you feel like you're, because, you know, I guess you've got voices that aren't conventional in comedy spaces. So when you go, do you think that's a strength? Do you use it as a strength that you've got like a different alternative voice? Because everyone in comedy, or most people you meet in comedy, they work in comedy. I mean, this is a hard thing to say, but it's true. A lot of them have gone to the same colleges, same schools.
Yeah.
They're all connected. They all know each other. Yeah. And you do feel
Birmingham Uni, that's the one they all go to.
It's, I had a review the other day, and it was a nice review. It was 4 stars, but they said, I told you about this.
You've told me, yeah.
They said, Josh, you know, comes across very intelligent despite his thick working class northern accent. And I was like, oh. And do you know what? I didn't even pick up on it because I just saw the stars, and it was a guy I'm dating who was like, Josh, this is really offensive.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but he also said I was quite funny, so there we go.
Yes,
but,
but,
like, it is weird. I think the industry are like, I think, like, when it comes to getting reviewers in the door and stuff, a lot of the people who were getting them in went to the same schools as the people reviewing it. So, like, it's a different thing and you're not in that.
But did you call him out on it?
Nah, fuck it. It gave me 4 stars, so why am I going to moan? I'm not going to kick off about it. And I thought it were quite funny.
Jade Adams would, to be fair. Yeah. The amount of times I've seen her go hell for leather for her, and they're like, God, I wish you never reviewed that show.
I knew that I was going to get that coming up here. I know I'm not like what the fringe, you know, like is. Like, a lot of working class northern comics don't get reviewed as well because they think being able to do Stags and Hens is like a lower thing because we're not talking about something sad. But actually, I think it's I think it's like the hardest one because you have to just be like joke, and you're dealing with piss people. So like, I'd rather have that skill set than do a sad story.
I had a reviewer say that I wasn't arrogant enough for a French person.
Yeah.
The review was the show is good, but she should be more arrogant. And I was like, that's just a review of my character.
But isn't that annoying? Because you said, oh, you come here for a training ground. You see it as a training ground. But a lot of people, this is their one shot. They've put everything they've got into this. They've taken the time off work.
Yeah.
They're doing everything. So if it's a training ground, then it's not the most accessible of industries, is it?
If this is your training ground for comedy.
I mean, if I see another a cappella group. Walking down the bleeding, what's that big road called in the middle?
Royal Mile.
The Golden Mile or whatever. The Royal Mile, sorry. That's me canvy coming through. And there's just, you know, a group of 12 a cappella students all singing, clean as daisies, you know, they haven't missed a night's sleep.
Yeah.
They're all up, crack-a-doodle, practicing. I hear them out my university window.
Yeah.
And no amount of stones I throw at them will they shut up.
I also...
That's privilege. This is my space. I deserve it. All right, I have this Fanta.
I always think of people who, like who have worked on a show, like a debut show, with a day job, with gigging. And I think that, there needs to be something where we put the circumstances of people's shows, if that makes sense. Like, did you have time off? Did you take yourself out to Italy to write it, or did you have to?
I think we should move the fringe to Blackpool and then make it like more working class and just the only reviewers is just Heat magazine, and then I'd win everything.
I don't think Heat magazine exists anymore, does it?
Does it now?
I don't think it does.
Heat magazine doesn't exist.
Does it now?
I don't know. Maybe
shall we bring it back?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll bring it back.
Why don't we just agree? We'll do Blackpool Fringe.
Blackpool Fringe, yeah. I love gigging in Blackpool. The audiences are fucking intense. It's great.
I would love to have banned, a fringe.
I'm banned from Blackpool, if I'm honest. It was a little incident with with Les Dennis. I'm not something I'm pleased about, but you shouldn't have looked at me in that way.
I just remember chatting up someone and they had like a little Eiffel Tower on their keyring, and I was like, oh, have you been to Paris? That's where I'm from. Let's do this. And then he went, I've been to Blackpool. And I remember being gutted.
In our gorgeous little chat show, what we do at the end,
yes,
is that we busk a little song, Milky and I, don't we? Based on the chats that we've been having throughout the show. Now, Milky, what kind of atmosphere are you feeling today, my gorgeous babe? You're addicted to your phone, aren't you?
I'm checking the time because my show is...
We'll let you go.
But I love my phone.
She does have a phone. She even said to me earlier that she says to audience members, if you want to check your phone during the show, go for your life.
Your phone is so much better. It's got all your friends in it.
It is a lot better than real life, isn't it,
yeah,
in some ways?
Honestly, my ideal show is, like, I don't talk. I'm on my phone. Everyone else is on their phones. And we're all just scrolling through the Love of Huns Instagram page. Oh, what a
That's
treat.
A dream. I just sit there watching videos of dogs that have got trapped in bins or something, you know. That's my crack. Or when they cut something open and something oozes out.
I watched a video that was like, lava versus water, who will win?
Oh, I'll be all over
28 minutes
that.
Long, watched the whole thing, loved it.
And didn't tell you at the end.
Yeah, no, I was just like, I can't even remember the end because I watch the weirdest thing on YouTube. I like watching people take rusty things and like clean them and make them, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I watched like an hour long video of a rusty bike being redone.
It was you'd love Kim and Aggie.
Yeah, oh, what is that?
You don't know Kim and Aggie?
You haven't lived, babe. Yeah.
Can I write that down? Kim and Aggie.
Kim and Aggie. They basically go into really grubby people's houses and clean them.
Yeah.
And Aggie gets... No, Kim does. She gets right in there with her finger now, gives it a good sniff.
Yeah.
Pretty much tastes it, does a DNA check.
Did you ever watch Rosemary in Time?
God, you love your crime drama, do you?
It was great. It was amazing.
Okay, we better do the song. Oh, yeah. We're in Edinburgh, we're halfway through and we're missing home. As I walk around the streets, I see Arthur Seat looking back at me, and I think I wish it was the petrochemical factory. I'm a million miles from home. Yeah, because we're a million miles from home. Do you know what? I'm in the kitchen with Josh. He's got 15 pies on the go. A cherry, a beef, and a London. No, that's a Welsh pie. Okay? Very clever. I'm freestyling. Feel free to do a verse if you want.
I cook me pies, I eat me pies. We all say aye, that rhymes.
The pie, yeah. The pie. Beautiful. Oh, I love that. I think we've got a new chorus. So, what about you, Celia?
Do you want me to do a verse?
Yeah, why not? It's fun.
Going up to Portobello Beach to forget all the money I've spent on this. As the waves come through, I think maybe I'll walk into the ocean.
I'm a million miles from home in Edinburgh.
Come, boy, yeah. I hope the reviewer thinks I'm not too or not enough French. I've spent a lot of cash on this, let's make it worth it. It's a training ground. The most expensive training ground you'll ever train on.
Just like opera, underneath your chairs you'll find a shotgun.
Loads of people.
And the way we end the show is we have a communal suicide. It's all getting a bit dark. And do you know why? Because we're a million miles away from home in Edinburgh. We're a million miles away from home in Edinburgh. I think that is pretty much the same verse and chorus that we've done for everyone at the end of the show. It just resorts. You just go back to what you feel you're most comfortable with. You lot, can I just say what gorgeous guests you've been? I've enjoyed talking to you so much. Just tell us what your show is one more time so the people at home can listen and they can come and visit.
It's called Swimming at the Pleasance Attic at 7:15.
My show is called Waste of Space. It's at Arfe at the Pleasance. Yeah.
Beautiful. And I'm not even going to tell you again what my show is, because all I do is see the insides of these walls. And this morning it smelt like sick, but thank God we managed to clear it up. Because people started to call it, "Are you going down the sick tonight?" Which wasn't ideal. Well, thank you, everyone. This is a Hat-Trick Cobcast coming to you live from the beautiful Flick in Edinburgh. Thank you to our gorgeous producer, Chris, Diggory over there on sound, the beautiful technicians from Assembly and the bar staff, who again have done absolutely bugger all. It's the easiest minimum wage I've ever got. And I tell you, each day it increases by two. By the end of it, we'll have the entirety of the Assembly staff sit behind there. Oh, it's ever so busy in the Flick, we've got to go down and help out. All they do is sit there and watch. Good on you, though. That's my kind of idea. That's how you do it. Well done, clever. Thank you, my beautiful babes. You've been gorgeous. We'll see you next time. It's our day off tomorrow. We can have the time of our lives.
Chatting with Trudy is recorded at my beautiful club, The Flick, down in the Assembly Underground. Oh, gorgeous. A big thanks to the wonderful people down at Burke's Nest and the beautiful little music geek, Andy Goddard. Assistant producer is Diggory Waite. My beautiful little producer is Chris Jones. This is a Hat-Trick Cobcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.